Our Old Testament reading this morning will be is taken from the book of Isaiah in the 53rd chapter, beginning at verse 1 and continuing through verse 9. And some of this reading will be repeated in the New Testament reading. So I invite you to listen for a word from the Lord as it is there written. Who has believed our report, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of dry ground. He has no form or comeliness, and when we see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we did not esteem him. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who will declare his generation? For he was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgression of my people he was stricken, and they made his grave with the wicked, but with the rich at his death, because he had done no violence, nor was any deceit in his mouth. Here ends this reading from God's holy word. Our New Testament reading this morning is from the book of Acts in the 8th chapter, beginning at verse 26 and continuing through verse 39. Again, I invite you to listen for a word from the Lord as it is there written. Then an angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Get up and go toward the south to the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is a wilderness road." So he got up and he went. Now there was an Ethiopian eunuch, a court official of the Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, in charge of her entire treasury. He had come to Jerusalem to worship, and he was returning home, seated in his chariot. He was reading the prophet Isaiah. Then the Spirit said to Philip, "Go over to this chariot and join it." So Philip ran up to it and heard him reading the prophet Isaiah. And he asked, "Do you understand what you are reading?" He replied, "How can I unless someone guides me?" And he invited Philip to get in and sit beside him. Now the passage of scripture that he was reading was this: "Like a lamb he was led to the slaughter, and like a sheep he was led to the slaughter, like a lamb silent before its shearer, so he does not open his mouth. In his humiliation justice was denied him. Who can describe his generation? For his life is taken away from the earth." The eunuch asked Philip, "About whom, may I ask you, does the prophet say this, about himself or about someone else?" Then Philip began to speak, and starting with this scripture, he proclaimed to him the good news about Jesus. As they were going along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "Look, here is water. What is to prevent me from being baptized?" He commanded the chariot to stop, and both of them, Philip and the eunuch, went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord snatched Philip away, The eunuch saw him no more and went on his way rejoicing. Here ends this reading from God's holy word. This amazing story from the 8th chapter of the book of Acts is a marvelous little study in the providence of God and the wonder-working power of His Holy Spirit. Here we have an official from the royal court of Ethiopia returning home to his own country after a visit to Jerusalem. Quite probably, this was a state visit and not a purely personal one. But we are told that while there, he worshiped. He had likely been sent on the occasion of the Passover, as it was the greatest annual festival of the Jews. What better time then to send a royal representative on a goodwill trip? The eunuch was, either professionally or personally or both, interested in Judaism, though he could never himself become a Jew. He was cut off, you might say, from the tribe of Abraham. His dismemberment meant that he could not bear the mark of the covenant in his flesh, so he was forever excluded from the household of Israel. Still, it is clear he wanted to understand more about the history and the customs and the belief of the people that his queen was dealing with to the north, so he did his homework. He participated in their festival. He observed their worship, and he read their historic and their sacred texts. He sounds like an ideal candidate for an ambassador from Ethiopia. And here he's returning to his homeland, and he's approached by a man who was sent by the God of the Israelites, the very people whom he is studying. When Philip approaches his military transport, he can hear the eunuch reading from the book of Isaiah. Unlike in our own day and time, it was uncommon in antiquity to read silently. And as the text was written in Greek, it would have been much easier for someone to parse the words, for there would have simply been strings of letters, row after row, on this scroll. We know the text was a Greek translation because the quote the author gives us of verses 32 and 33, they differ ever so slightly grammatically from the Hebrew translation, literally. One can suppose then that this scroll of Isaiah was a gift that the eunuch had been given as part of his meetings with the Jewish officials, because scroll production was both labor intensive and expensive. So the number of scrolls that were in circulation would have been fairly low and reserved for a pretty exclusive audience then. The eunuch could read Greek, which was a widely adopted language of the ancient world, but just because he could sound out these words and figure out the sentences that they made up, that didn't mean that he could understand what it was that he was reading. I don't suppose it's all that different from a non-scientist picking up a book about quantum mechanics. Philip, though, after hailing the eunuch, offers to help him make sense of those words that are on that scroll. Who are these words about? The eunuch wants to know, referring to the description in Isaiah 53, 7 to 8. Are they self-referential to the author, or are they about another? And with that opening, Philip launches into an explication of not just a couple of verses and not just an interpretation of the rest of this Isaiah scroll, but of all of the Hebrew scriptures and the way they were pointing toward the coming Messiah, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Philip opens up for the eunuch a new reality and a new community based firmly within the Hebrew tradition, but one whose membership is not limited to status or merit or physical limitation. The eunuch listens and desires to become part of such a fellowship of God, and who wouldn't? Who wouldn't? Until he finally exclaims, "What is to prevent me from being baptized? Here is water." And he was brought into that community. I would submit that it's primarily those who don't know about the community and those who know wrongly about the community, those who have read the book but don't understand it rightly, and those who have only heard rumors and gossip about the community. Those might be the ones who wouldn't want to be a part of it. But as the eunuch opened the scroll, Philip opened the text, the Ethiopian knew what he didn't know. He wasn't afraid to admit that, as so many are. He also wasn't too proud to ask for help with interpretation. And by the time this lesson had concluded, not only did the two men explore together these verses from Isaiah, originally under question, but they covered the whole story of Jesus the Messiah and how he fit into the full narrative of the Hebrew Scriptures. The Holy Spirit had given Philip the lens of Christ with which to read and interpret the Scriptures, and what a difference that made. What a difference it continues to make. I hope as you hear this account from Acts, you don't think it has only ever been Philip the evangelist who has received this gift of interpretation through this lens. No, all believers are granted this gift of knowing the Savior through God's holy word. And it is incumbent upon us to use that gifted lens to open the Bible for ourselves, yes, but also for others. Even starting such a conversation as this, though, can be difficult, as oftentimes folks aren't asking the right questions. Very rarely do people ask questions regarding Scripture, except maybe on Jeopardy. In his book, What's Wrong with the World, G.K. Chesterton wrote that we do not ask what is right. Often, I think it's because we're willing to settle. We're willing to settle for what's wrong. We're willing to settle for, I don't really care. We're willing to settle for, nobody knows. Look at these sentences, kind sir, and tell me who they are about. Had a Pharisee been asked this by the eunuch, he might have simply responded that this description was about someone other than the author, sir, which is not wrong, and left it at that. After all, that was the question, wasn't it? Who are these about, the prophet or someone else? But Philip, guided by the Holy Spirit, was intent on sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ, that lens through which the Scriptures had been opened to him. He knew that the truth is that the truth is the answer to all things, asked or unasked. When our children or our children's children ask us, "Where do babies come from?" we can sigh and sit them down for the talk about the birds and the bees, as I can remember my mother awkwardly doing with me just before I was sent off to a week-long residential youth summer camp. Another option, aside from simply conveying facts, though, is to convey the faith behind and in those facts, to give the answer behind all answers, to explain not just the what, but the who and the why as well. The biology of copulation is not the whole answer to the reproductive question. That may be the factual what, but there is a divine component that is no less compelling and much more eternally beautiful that is underlying the who and the why of where we come from and how we got here. As the psalmist wrote, "For it was you, O Lord, who formed my inward parts. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works that I know very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was being made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth. Your eyes beheld my unformed substance. In your book were written all the days that were formed for me when none of them as yet existed." Now, the eunuch didn't ask for an extended explanation, but neither do most people with questions. Granted, there are times and there are places when a brief utilitarian answer will suffice, as in the movies, when the hero is inevitably faced with defusing the ticking time bomb and urgently asks for an expert opinion on which of the wires he or she should cut. But in most cases, investing oneself in another's inquiry can be a holy endeavor, as we are invited into that person's world far enough to share some wisdom. And all the wisdom that we have comes from the source of all wisdom, and thus it is back to him that we should point. Our answers can be, and rightly ought to be, so much bigger than the questions. That's what Philip helps the Ethiopian to understand as he answers a straightforward question about a few sentences on a Greek scroll. And it is also where I think we can help folks in our own day and time. As Christians, we are students of a philosophy taught and embodied by a rabbi, a teacher. And as his disciples, that is what we are called and equipped by the Spirit to be, teachers. Perhaps not all in classrooms full of students, but in a variety of different ways and settings. Though our Father is the author of the world, his world is full of knowledge, but lacking in wisdom. And we, like Philip, are invited to come alongside folks to engage with them and offer a new lens to the story that God continues to write. This morning's text from Acts tells us that when they parted ways in a very dramatic fashion, the eunuch was left far in a far better place than he was when Philip came alongside him. He may have thought he knew what he was looking for, but it turned out that what he sought was secondary to that which he didn't even know he needed. I believe the majority of folks living in the world today are in that same boat. All around there are people who don't know what they need, and that what is secondary to the who they need. So, my brothers and sisters in Christ, I invite us to be attentive to the cries of this world and to the guiding of the Spirit to answer them, to be willing to put ourselves out there, to respond to those in need, those with questions, bringing to them that which they lack in the form of the good news, knowledge of the one who lacks for nothing and is the answer to all things, Jesus Christ the Lord. And for that, we may truly say, thanks be to God and amen.